Is a paid program on 630 WLAP pre-show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. Put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. You're not awake after a little James Brown early on a Saturday morning. Tom, where are we going to go today?
Well, we're going to start with Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, for... it's a bad prayer to ask. For I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord. O Lord, please don't examine me. Well, maybe so. And prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Those are people that cause strife. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. We don't have a guest today. Your guest is me.
Host and guest.
Yeah. Which means I'm like the judge and the jury about what it gets said here. That's a very limited space, I might add. That's not a very big kingdom to be judge and jury over. Thinking about what it was just said in that psalm, I'll just tell you a little bit about my life, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what I think is going on. I try to subject the things that I do to the Word of God and to God's Spirit. It's only through the Holy Spirit that God acts in the earth, and that generally through people. People filled with the Holy Spirit trying to submit themselves to Jesus Christ, listening to what he is saying for them to do, of which I'm trying to be a part, also called the body of Christ. There are many comparisons in Scripture of the people in the earth who are followers of Christ being knit together as if it were one big body. And you know that in a body, There are different parts of the body which do different functions. They don't all do the same thing. And it's the same thing with the church and the people who are called to be the body of Christ. So anything that I come out with, and here's another thing. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to really discover what it is you're supposed to be doing or what you are designed to do or what your destiny was. You might start off thinking you're a carpenter, and you might end up finding you're a banker. And it's true in the human body. You know, these hands may do something to begin with, and then something else. The same thing with these legs. Their purpose can morph or change over time. Now, I'm in the investment business and have been for 42 years. What does that mean? Well, it means that I have seen a great deal of change during the 42 years that I've been doing this. What are some things that we don't have that we used to have? Well, one thing that we don't have that was very big when we started, or I started, is commissions. Brokerage firms don't charge commissions anymore. Now, yeah, there are some that do. But the thrust has been away from that and towards greater transparency. What has that meant? That the leg, if you're going to, let's compare it back to the biblical analogy, the leg, which used to do one function, doesn't do that anymore. That's not to say that people aren't still buying and selling stocks. They're just not doing it for a commission. That is a change that's occurred in this business. What are some other changes? Well, we used to have a thing called interest rates. That was the amount of interest earned on a deposit or a bond or something like that. We don't have much in the way of interest rates anymore. Could that come back? Could that change? Well, if you look at history, yes, interest rates could potentially return, but they haven't been very high. And so we've had to think of other ways to earn a return on our investments. What's happening in the corporate world? When I started in this business in 1978, there was no such thing as a personal computer. There was no such thing, certainly, as a cell phone or a smartphone. And there was no such thing as Apple computer. And there was really no such thing as Microsoft. We've had the era of the personal computer has come and gone since I've been in the business. It came, it got massive, and now it's basically gone, and we've moved to the era of the smartphone. That's not to say personal computers don't exist anymore, but they didn't exist when I started in the business. They got big and they've gone somewhat away. So some people are saying that we won't have cars anymore, not in the way that we think of them. People had talked about electric cars. Now they say that that's the thing of the future. Cars were very big and bulky when I started in the business. They've gotten smaller. and we've, to some degree, moved away. Let's think about politics. When I started in this business, there was no such thing as a conservative in the way that we think of you. Oh, you had people like Bill Buckley and the National Review, and but those were a very small slice of people. It was kind of assumed that, you know, the government was right, that the 9 o'clock news was right. Nobody thought about having an alternative point of view. Today, the conservative movement is alive. It's under assault and siege right now. But usually, under circumstances like that, things end up flourishing if they are being persecuted. In Kentucky, we had a much smaller government that actually did more than we do today, and we've got a much bigger government that does a whole lot less than a smaller government did in the late 70s. In Kentucky, we actually built roads. We built turnpike systems. We thought about moving goods and services from one place to another, and we went out and we built roads, toll roads, which over time paid for themselves and paid off the bonds, and they took the tolls off. Today, we think more in terms of redistribution of wealth and keeping a non-working class of people fed, but not really very well educated. And so we actually, in 1978, we actually had school systems that did something. And the budgets were significantly lower than they are of our school systems today, in particular Fayette County, which does nothing right now and yet gets paid large salaries while they sit at home. This is a big change from 42 years ago. And it's a lot different than what it was. So, you know, there have been changes. And I would say that in some areas, like those that have to respond to free enterprise and are affected by free enterprise, there's been massive amounts of wealth built up. And there's been big money lost by people that were invested in old technologies like commissions, like typewriters, like the adding machines. Like cars, the Detroit style car model. So capital has switched away from those. The one thing that has continued to grow through all this, but produce less and less of anything of substance, is government. And you've got at least half, and maybe at this point it's more than half, of the population that likes big government because they get a check from it and enjoys the fact that government is big. And if you think of things as having to slim down at some point because the expenditures exceed what they can possibly hope to bring in, you would perhaps conclude that there has to be a point at time in which government can no longer sustain itself, no longer borrow the money to do the things that it's been doing, and keep going. I mean, I don't. Are we at that tipping point? And that's a very good question. I mean, $30 trillion in debt. Do we get to a point where the government just can't continue to do? And is, if you were comparing government to the stock market, is the Biden administration kind of the final blow off, like in a bull market, stocks going up 1,000 points in a week right before there's a big pullback or even collapse? Are we potentially there with the federal government? Because we'll talk a little bit when we in the second hour about some things that they are thinking about doing that would essentially force them into everything you do in life. You think they're already in everything. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's called the Equality Act. But my sense is that the former inhabitant of the White House challenged the bull market in government growth to the extent that they pulled out all the stops, legal and illegal, to get their representative into the White House to keep that bull market in government growth going. And when I say bull market in government growth, I mean the gravy train. So we do know that the government has continued to grow. There's many things that have gotten smaller. State governments, for instance, despite the fact that they've grown a lot, they've also had to shrink in certain areas where they cannot continue to, because they can't print money. States do not print money. They think they do sometimes, but they really don't. One thing I've been focused on are churches. If you look at the history of the United States, and you realize that at the very beginning there was a much greater acquaintance with religion and comfort with a religious sensibility than there is today, you will see that from the beginning, the United States has been intertwined with Christianity and church. Not necessarily, you know, it wasn't a state church like what was in England, where Henry VIII, you know, formed the Church of England, and it became involved in affairs of the state. Even today, the Queen of England is the titular head of Anglicanism. I doubt she's involved in the day-to-day workings of the Anglican Church, but she is still, dating back to the days of Henry, the head of the Anglican Church. We did not want that in America. That's why they said separation of church and state. We meant that we weren't going to have a state-sponsored church. We do have a state-sponsored church today. It is the religion of the left. It is the religion of liberalism. And the idea, just like any other religion like that, it cannot countenance any sort of breaking with its policies, cannot handle having its policies exposed. That's why there are going to be attempts to silence you and me, and already there are, because the people that run the large technology companies are on board with this. They are not free enterprise types, and they're not interested in freedom of thought and expression. You know, some of you have listened to this radio show for several years. There is a very good chance that this time next year, it won't be on the air. Not because we plan on stopping doing what we're doing, but because iHeartRadio may come under censorship pressure to get rid of it.
Which brings me to another point.
I was going to say, where else are you going to hear James Brown? On a blog? No.
No, on a podcast.
You can't. Can't put it on a podcast.
Yeah, can always put it on a podcast. There are lots of platforms, and we're on a lot of them. Anyway, you're listening to the Tom Dupree Show. We'll be back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Real stories.
Arctic blast. Full.
Vaccine shipments and delivery.
Domestic terror.
The American Rescue Plan.
Rush Limbaugh.
Happening in real time.
Tune in.
This is Real Life. This is
Real Life.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Did you know just the simple act of dressing for work can make you more productive? According to a recent study by the Wall Street Journal, getting dressed for work each morning can even improve your performance. Untucked shirts are the easy way to look sharp instantly, and they're designed to be worn untucked, so you'll stay comfortable all day long. So for your next Zoom call, lose the t-shirt and grab an untucked shirt instead. It'll also be your go-to when we start returning to all the things we've been missing. Try one today at any Untucked store or at Untucked.com. Untucked shirts, designed to be worn untucked.
I started using when I was 13.
Taylor is in recovery from an addiction to prescription opioids.
It was like, oh, well, they're medications. They can't be that dangerous. My perception was once you stop using, like, that's it. Your life is over. I didn't even realize that I needed help until, like, the day that I got arrested. I have been able to accomplish a lot in my recovery. I just want to be happy, and I want to thrive in my life.
If you or someone you know is struggling, there is hope. Recovery is possible. Visit cdc.gov/rxawareness.
Enter the world of tomorrow's monsters, a scripted podcast starring Golden Globe nominee John Boyega and Emmy winner Darren Criss. In this sci-fi thriller podcast, a shadowy corporation seeks to enhance human evolution by eliminating the need for sleep.
What are the repercussions when we give corporations direct access to our brains? At what point are we no longer just consumers? At what point do we become their product?
Listen to tomorrow's monsters on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little bit of dry time out there for this afternoon and into parts of this evening, but the later into the Saturday we go, we will be seeing those showers increasing again. Some heavy rain this time lasting through the overnight, then through Sunday could likely lead to some high water issues. I'm WKYT meteorologist Adam Burrison.
Broadcasting live 24/7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy five or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Can you really believe the news? So much spin. Americans just don't trust big media. And if you're really tired of the old news, check out Newsmax TV, the fastest growing network in America. It's on all major cable systems. Each night, watch Newsmax TV and see big shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're exposing Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's surprising agenda. So tune into Newsmax anytime. If your cable doesn't carry it, call them and tell them you can go to another service that does. Or you can download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, and you can watch it anywhere in the world. Newsmax is also free on TVs like Samsung, LG, and Vizio. And millions of people watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, Apple TV, and more. There's a reason 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV all the time. Check it out today. Newsmax is real news for real people.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP at WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
630 WLAP.
Come on.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the first hour. Powered by Dupree Financial Group, coming to you from the Dupree Studios on Main Street in Lexington. And here is your host, Tom Dupree.
Okay. I want to read you something. This is something a friend of mine sent me from the desk of Franklin Graham. We cannot remain silent. The Equality Act is a dangerous threat to our nation. I'm writing to you about a very dangerous piece of legislation. The Equality Act. The Biden administration has said they want to pass this within their first 100 days. I cannot say this more emphatically for people, for businesses, and for ministries of faith. The Equality Act is a threat to life as we know it in our nation today. The House has already passed this legislation once previously, so It will likely pass in the House again before moving on to the Senate. We need you to contact your Congress member and U.S. senators and ask them vote no. I also encourage you to let the White House know about your strong opposition to this bill. The progressive left is zealous about this issue and will pull out all the stops to try to make it the law of the land. Now, we're going to talk a little about the features. Everybody believes in equality, right? I mean, yeah, oh yeah, we're for equality. It's a good thing. Anytime the government names something a certain name, it's always something other than what they name it. It's like the Affordable Care Act. It was neither affordable nor was it care. The Equality Act is not about equality. This is something that I find interesting in people the way they are lately, is they have lost their ability to critically think. They don't allow for the possibility that when a government or a big business person tells them something, that there's a good chance they're lying to them. I mean, you just look at the coronavirus. You know, I've studied drug companies for 40 years, have studied them. That's why I don't trust the vaccines, because what I know about drug companies would lead me not to trust drug companies. It's that simple. Like, they're really going to do something that's good for you? They don't. They're about profits, not people. Anyway, let's get back to the Equality Act. The Equality Act designates schools, churches, and healthcare organizations as public accommodations. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. With this, schools, churches, and hospitals could be forced to accept the government's beliefs and mandates about sexual orientation and gender identity. Well, okay, well, that doesn't sound too bad. That would be highly intrusive and incredibly far-reaching. It will threaten everyday speech, where people can be fined or lose their jobs for using the wrong name or pronouns. If you call somebody a male and they're a female, but they say they're a female, you could be fined because you have created an unsafe space for that person. If you don't, in a certain church, believe that homosexuality is God's perfect plan, because you dare to believe that a biblical interpretation may prove otherwise, there will be a chance that because of believing that, you could lose your church. Do you think for a minute that the left wing doesn't want to be able to have a lever to do this? Have you been following what's been going on in California, where the churches have been shut down over 300 days, in Maine, where the churches have been shut down over 300 days? They will use what they can to do what they can. The Equality Act will legislate that we allow boys and girls sports, boys and girls locker rooms, men and women's shelters, and men and women's prisons. It will force teachers and students to publicly pretend that a biological male is a female. Schools will be encouraged or mandated to instruct first, second, and third graders that they can choose to be a boy or a girl, or neither, or both, making biological sex and science a relic of the past. The Equality Act will use the force of law across all 50 states to strip Christian and other religious ministries of their right to hire people of shared faith to pursue a shared mission. Can you imagine a Christian organization being forced to hire people hostile to its deeply held beliefs who have no passion for its beliefs, teachings, and mission? That doesn't work. Well, quite frankly, many large Christian denominations are already hiring people that don't believe in the God of the Bible. So for some of them, that may not be too big a stretch, but the ones that try to adhere to biblical doctrines, it'll be difficult. The Equality Act will strip healthcare professionals of their rights of conscience. It will force doctors and medical professionals who long to do no harm to engage in gender transition treatments such as hormone blocking, cross-sex hormones, or surgery. It is obvious that a Catholic or faith-based hospital should not have to perform gender transition surgeries that go entirely against all that they believe. It's interesting. Medicine has allowed itself to get built on a government reimbursement model to the extent that they simply may not be able to have anything to say about this because of their compromised position with government. Medicine is about profits these days. It is not so much about health. This is unfortunate. In the case of chronic diseases, our healthcare system doesn't do very well, but with acute car wrecks and things like that, I don't know how we could do without it. So you have a great quandary. The Equality Act will be a tool used by the government to deny or threaten accreditations to religious colleges and universities if they do not satisfy the demands of the secular left to apply sexual orientation and gender identity to dorms, sports, places of privacy, and even teachings. Well, that's already being done. Look at any of the major religious universities, and they've all caved in to the left. So I don't know that it would be that big of a change for some of them. People of faith need to pray. Churches need to recognize the significance of this and pray corporately, asking for God's intervention and mercy to extend the religious freedoms we have been blessed with for so long. I think that's interesting. Franklin Graham is going to have a certain view on things, and I basically read it because Franklin Graham has been willing to take the heat for his opposition to the LGBT agenda. That's been primarily what the left hates him for. He does not agree with it being the right thing. But on the other hand, you could argue that he may indeed be invested somewhat in the corporate church and big universities, because he's on the board of Liberty University in Virginia. And it's going to get more difficult for these things to exist. I do not envy pastors these days. What does it take you to be a pastor? Well, most pastors don't have any idea. When the government tells them and their bosses tell them to shut down their churches rather than listen to the needs of their flock, their parishioners, they have gone ahead and shut down their churches and obeyed what they felt the government was telling them to do. So there's been a great collapse in our religious leaders who have probably cared more sometimes about their job and their paycheck than about the health of their flock. Now, if you're an exception to this rule, I applaud you, because you actually did what, you know, what I think God called you to do. But as time goes by, this stuff is not going to get any better. Trump obviously won the election. If you look at all the court cases and all the evidence which is out there of election theft. But for some reason, if you believe that God has a hand in everything, he did not answer the prayers of the faithful who were praying for Trump immediately. He allowed this false outfit to move forward and take office and set up shop. Now, I liken this thing that's going on now to when King David was anointed king of Israel, but he had to run from Saul for 7 years. It's to me, it's the same sort of thing. So we're living in this time when we're going to see all sorts of potential and real assaults against our freedom and our autonomy and anything that we can and would do to worship God. It's going to come against us, and it's going to shake people who are nominally Christian. Now, what do you do during a time like this? Well, I'll tell you what I've done. Repent on a daily basis. Ask God to change your heart. Be sorry for the sins that you've committed and be willing to stop doing them. Read the scriptures. There is no substitute for Bible reading. I go through, there's a thing called YouVersion. You can do it on your Bible. Go through the year, the Bible in a year. Read the Psalms. That's a part of the Bible that anybody can read. And get a version that you can understand. I like the Amplified, but other people like other things. Pray on a regular basis. I don't care if you say that the prayer doesn't work. Start out 5 minutes. Ask God to show you who to pray for and what to pray for. Decide what kinds of things you really need in your life and what are just things that you want. There is a difference. Invest your money in people and in things that you see God doing. Think about where your money goes and what it's doing. Your money is what you've earned. Make the best of it. Find some body of Christian believers with whom you can get together and fellowship and share. And find somebody that you can confide in, talk to. I don't recommend it be only online. I think that it's better if you have a physical presence of people that you're with. Now, I'll just give you a little example. I grew up an Episcopalian. We took communion, and we all drank out of the same cup. My mother, I asked her, why do we do that? She said, God takes care of us. I have never worried about the coronavirus. And why? Because it says in Scripture, fear not. Now, this coronavirus seems to be the one thing that I've seen some really experienced Christians make an exception to the biblical admonition, fear not, over. They will not fear anything except for the coronavirus, and that deserves fear. These are people that would walk right into the lion's den and be willing to be destroyed or killed by this or that. But when it comes to this coronavirus thing, they're fearful. It's very odd. And I think part of it is because they've been told to be afraid. And many of these people are, they might have worked for the government, or they may have worked for a big company or something. And when somebody in authority tells them to do something, they do it because they were told to. The government said, be afraid, and kept saying it over and over again. And so finally they decided we should be afraid. The government says, get the vaccine. Doesn't matter that we're now finding you can still get coronavirus after the vaccine. The government said to do it. So did. I saw a little small business restaurant today. Little small business, they don't get anything from the government, said, due to government mandate, you must wear a mask when you come in. So they're taking the government's word on the mask deal, but not anything else, because they're a private enterprise. Keep yourself in prayer. Keep yourself in Scripture. Try to fellowship with some body of believers. And people that are Christian, and you should be fine. That's all I got. God bless you.
So, we'll listen to a little James Brown as we go out. In the second hour, we've got our financial guys joining us with a recap on what's going on in the markets. And we will be back in just a few minutes. If you like what you've heard, you want to hear it again, it's always available on podcast after it airs live on Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, or you can find it at www.dupreefinancial.com. We have a blog and radio tab. You click on that, and you can find all of our previous shows. So sit tight. We will be back in just a few minutes. This is a Tom Dupree Show powered by Dupree Financial Group, coming to you from the Dupree Studios on Main Street in Lexington. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.
I received this diagnosis. I was shocked. I'm Rush Limbaugh. I'm indestructible.
Mega eternal dittos, Rush.
Even in the most dire circumstances, if you just wait,
we'll miss you.
The good in it will reveal itself.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.